So last week we spoke about personal shalom and shalom in Yerushalayim. And so this week, okay, sure, absolutely. This week I'm going to just start, whenever there's a connection in the parsha, so I like to start with that. So actually, as you'll see later, the Maharal mentions that but this is a very, very well-known one, so I'll mention it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Sarah Imenu in Vayera and he tells her that she's going to have a baby, it's going to be Yitzchak, of course she laughs. And her reaction is, how is that possible? V'adoni zaken. My master, Avraham Avinu, is zaken, is elderly. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is very well known, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats the story, then to Avraham Avinu, he says that Sarah said, ani zaken. Okay, that she is old. Because, why? The reason is because of Shalom Bayis. Very important basic principle of Shalom Bayis. You know, mutar l'shanot v'nei ha-shalom. So last year we actually discussed the midah of emet. That was one of our midot in the yeshiva. And this year we're talking about shalom. So the Gemara mentions, the Medrashim mentioned, emet is called the chotam, is the signature of God. Shalom is actually his name. There's a pasuk which says that shalom is God's name. So if you had to say which of the two is more important, so clearly the signature could be an initial, it could be a stamp, it could be 100 different things. So clearly the one that's more important though is the actual name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. So we see Shalom is a greater principle than Emet sometimes. So we know that if we're at somebody's house and they serve chicken and we don't love the chicken but we like something about it and they ask us how we like it or we don't like it, so then we say, oh, we like it, it's delicious, and you find something nice about it. If somebody gets a new dress and they've already bought it, this I told the kids also, so you say, you find something that you like about it. The trim, you say, it's a very nice dress, I especially like the trim. Shalom, it's a very well-known story of the Chafetz Chaim, along these lines also. The Chafetz Chaim and a friend of his were eating in an inn, they were staying in an inn, and the innkeeper came over, they were eating a meal, and they were eating soup, and the innkeeper came over and asked, she said, how's the soup? So the Chafetz Chaim says, oh, it's delicious, wonderful soup. His friend says, no, your soup is delicious, but it needs a little more salt. So the innkeeper walks away, and the Chafetz Chaim says, I can't believe I heard Lashon Hara. Of course, I never listened to Lashon Hara, and I'm very upset. And his friend said, well, why? Why are you so upset? You know what could be happening right now is that this is the owner of the inn, and she may be berating the cook and yelling at her, and the cook may need this job. It's a terrible thing. And his friend says, that sounds very far-fetched to me. Very far-fetched. And so the Chafetz Chaim says, let's get up and look. So they go over to the kitchen, and exactly that is what's happening. The innkeeper is berating the cook. The cook is crying. She's a poor woman who needs the job. So the Chafetz Chaim's friend says, oh, I didn't know the soup was really delicious. It was really wonderful. So you never know how... I'm talking to myself here also. This is such a difficult thing. It's very difficult. I don't always think. I try, but how our remarks, a slight remark, might have a very negative effect. So shalom is such an important principle. We'll see in the Maharal. The Maharal has a sefer, which we'll see shortly, called Netivot. Netivot Olam, and in Netivot Olam he has several chapters on. It's called Netiv HaShalom, the path of shalom. And the Maharal goes into great details. We will see shortly. Shalom actually is something comes from the word shlemut, right? Shalom and shlemut are the same thing. In fact, you could take out the vav and it comes out. So in order for a person to really achieve shlemut in life, one has to, shalom and shlemut are connected. One of the main goals of a person is to be Adam HaShalem, a complete and whole person. And one of the ways to achieve shlemut is indeed through shalom. What is shalom? What is the nature of shalom? So I think if you take a look for just a moment, I think we'll skip around a little bit. I want you to look, please, at the first page of the Maharal. That's page 4. Okay. First of all, where did Bachlokid come into the world that we need to make shalom? Where did it all start? So you think it's, what would you say is the first one? Even before that, it says, right, it says on Yom Sheni, if you look at number 1 in the Maharal, I numbered them, arrow 1, Lama lo ne'amar b'sheni kitov? Why doesn't it say on the second kitov? Kibo mivnei shebo nivra hamachloket. Says v'hi rakia b'toch hamayim v'imavdil bin mayim l'mayim. Okay, so just the splitting of the waters or the splitting of the continents, whatever. That was the first time there's any kind of separation. I thought somebody was going to say kayin and hevel maybe, but that's the between people. But even before that, the concept of separation of machloket is in the world. And as soon as you have the concept of separating things, even if they're inanimate objects, that creates some level machloket and a lack of shlemut. You see that everything is being separated. And a lack of shlemut, completion, creates a lack of shalom. And the number two you'll see, it says hashalom hu hashlemut. Shalom is shlemut. It's the same idea. Okay? And he repeats that in number, just going down, number three. V'zeh ba'atzmo ma shenikra shalom. That's itself a shalom. Shehu miloshon shelemut. It's from the language of completion. Ki ha-shalom mashlim ha-mitziyut. Peace puts things back together in creation or in whatever is existing. Ad shenimsa davar b'shelemut b'li chisaron. Until the thing is complete without anything missing. Okay, so that's what the Maharal says, that putting things back together, whether it's inanimate objects, animate objects, people, things, etc., this is creates shlemut. And shlemut leads to a person's simcha. If you'll see it, number four, it's a chain reaction. If you have putting things back together creates shlemut. Shlemut leads to shalom. And shalom leads to simcha. V'chein ha-simcha shehi ha-shlemut ro'oy el rotei shalom shu shlemut ha-metziyot. What creates happiness is putting things back together, creating completion, creating peace. Cain, number five, Cain liyotzei shalom urfim shalom ro'oy lahem asimcha. Those who run after peace, they are deserving of joy. Shasimcha hi al hashleimut kemoshit ba'er, because simcha is completion. Shashalom hashlim ha-metziyut, because peace brings together things. And therefore they enjoy, they are happy, because they, when they run after peace, because it brings completion. So all these concepts are very, very closely connected. They're very closely connected. It's, if you put things back together, you create shlemut, then you create, that's a sense of peace, of wholeness, and then you're joyful from that. Just keep your finger over here in the place and take a look at the Sefer Alei Shur for just a second, which is page 1. Okay? The topic here on page 1 is actually Simcha. How do you have joy in life? How do you create joy? So the Maharal, I just thought this was just an amazing parallel connection. So the topic here is Simcha. Shamayim va'aretz. Heaven and earth, also talking about creation. Ish v'isha, man and a woman. Nishama v'guf. Soul and body, nigudim hem, they are opposites. Lo tamid hem nisharim nigudim, they're not always remaining opposite. Yeshem ashpim zel zel letova, they influence one another for good. Yeshem mitachdim legamrei, and some actually come together completely. Right? Bechol hitkashu, and he talks about rain as a connection between heaven and earth, for example. Right? Bechol hitkashut hanigudim, yesh simcha. Anytime you have opposites that come together, there's joy. And that's the concept of a peace treaty, right? It's between, you don't need to have a peace treaty between friends. You usually have to have a peace treaty between enemies. That's the place and the nature of joy. Wherever you find simcha, there is tying together and binding together. That is what creates simcha, joy in life. And the most famous Musar Sefer of all, if you just turn the page, the most famous Musar Sefer of all is, of course, Mesilat Yesharim, which is written by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzatel. And this is, if one learns any amount of Musar, the first Sefer that one has to learn, at some point it's absolutely essential to learn this Sefer. And I just want to learn a little bit of Mesilat Yesharim. The first part is so famous, and many people know the first four or five sentences by heart, even, if they learn in Yeshiva. You notice, of course, the first four letters start with the Rashi Tevot of Yudkei Vavkei, right? Hashem's name. Yisod ha-chasidut, the foundation of all piety. Vishoresh ha-avudah ha-temimah. And the root of perfect or complete, again, complete, shlemut, service of God, That a person should clarify and make truthful, he should know what his purpose or her purpose is in the world. And what he has to look at and try to achieve all the days of his life. What our rabbis have taught us, Adam lo nivra elihit, and this is a word I would underline, elihit aneg al Hashem. He doesn't just say to come close to God, but oneg. A person should enjoy, have pleasure from God, uvulei hanot miziv shchinato, and to benefit from the glory of His divine presence. Shezeu ta'anuk ha'amiti va'idun hagadol mikol ha'idunim shi'cholim nihinatzei. Because this is the greatest pleasure and the most truthful pleasure of anything. Rav Dessler has a similar statement that we've quoted before, that there's no osher, there's no wealth in the world as much as osher, happy, ruchani, spiritual happiness. But ultimately the word used here is pleasure and joy, and that's critical here. The person is not, we're not supposed to be, you know, downtrodden and beating ourselves up and rolling in snow. He'll talk about that later. But a person, and it doesn't mean that we should be having, you know, partying. But it's spiritual pleasure that a person has to try to achieve. Okay, and who is, and everything in the world, I don't want to go through the entire thing, but all of this is where you see the arrow on the bottom. The person has to try to do, and he explains now the way to get to this point is to do Torah and Mitzvot, of course. That's what he explains. The way to get to Idun Gadol is the Torah and Mitzvot. Now here's the connection back to Shalom and Shleimut. You see the arrow? Ukishitistakel badavar, and when you look at the matter, tireh ki hashleimut ha'amiti urak hadvekut bo yitbarach. That complete, truthful Shleimut is attaching oneself to God. Right? That is what a person has to try. In completeness, shleimut ha'amiti. You know, it's again, shleimut shalom is attaching to God, and through attaching to God, one achieves joy in their life. Again, back to what we saw just a second ago in the Alei Shor, that true joy is coming close to God, and that's true shleimut. So the equation again, person achieves shalom between the opposites. Achieves shleimut, puts things together, achieves completeness, and the completeness leads to simcha. But what is, or oneg, and what is the simcha, the greatest simcha? It's spiritual simcha, coming close to God. And therefore, it makes most sense. And he says the same thing actually on the next page also, in the arrow. If he's attacked from all different sides with the Yetzirah he's talking about, he will be a complete person. Ashiz keli dabek bivaro, who will be zoche to attach himself to his creator. And then he will leave the vestibule in this world and go into the next world. Again, to achieve shleimut and tanug. So again, shalom, shleimut, tanug, and connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, these all come together in one thing. So if you take a look, and ultimately that is why God's name indeed is Shalom. God's name is Shalom because attaching oneself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? You achieve Shalom. You put the opposites together, right? You achieve Shleimut, and you put the things together. You get Shalom. You achieve Shleimut, which leads to Simcha or Oneg, and the real Oneg is achieved only how. By coming close to God. That's why God's name is Shalom, because in order to, you have to have the Shleimut in order to come close to God and really appreciate Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if you take a look back at the Maharal on the first page, page 4, number 6, that's what we were up to. I apologize, this one is a slightly indelicate, but this part, but it's worth mentioning, okay? Just because it's, you know, everything in Torah can be put into halachic or almost everything in halachic or agadic categories. So just to prove that this is not just, you know, a nice philosophical idea that God's name is Shalom, it actually has halachic ramifications. Okay, I don't want to be, but it's a halacha, it's a gemara. Harakam the Shabbat Amar Rav Hamnuna Mishmei de Ula. Rav Hamnuna said in the name of Ula, Asur laAdam shiten lechaveru Shalom beBeit HaMerchatz. In the bathhouse, a person is not allowed to say Shalom. You can say Hi, but you can't say Shalom. in a bathroom or a bathhouse. Mishum shenemar, this is a pasuk, Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. God's name is Shalom, Ad Kan. Okay, so you seek, Barzer nitireh kama gadol madregat ha-shalom, ki shmo yitbarach nikra shalom. Right, because God is called Shalom. This is what we started with. Ki mutar lomar emet b'veit ha-merchatz. You could, in the bathhouse, you could say the word emet, which is God's signature, if you recall, right? It's not one of God's names, it's a description of God, and it's his signature. But Shalom is one of his names. And therefore, you're not allowed to say it. Okay? And why? Because God, and he explains the next part, God brings peace about between all creatures. Right? Let's read this part, because this pulls everything together we've been talking about. Why is God's name Shalom more than Emet, more than truth? Why not? Why the name Shalom Dafka? By the way, when it says Shlomo in Kohelet, you know, so Chazal say also it's referring to the Bono Shalom. A Melech Shlomo, Melech Shalom Shalo, which is referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? God makes peace between everything that exists. And if God would not make peace between the opposites, the world wouldn't exist. Because the world has opposites, and God includes everything. So again, this is, remember, we saw this several times now. We saw this in the Alei Shor, in terms of Simcha. You bring part, put together opposites, man and woman. If you do it properly, you can get shalom and simcha, right? And it's also the shalom is prominent in chasna, as we talk about, right? And simcha is prominent where they come together. You get shlemut, and a person can't be shalem. A husband and wife are not shalem. They're parts, like with the machzit ha-shekel, but even more so with a husband and wife. The shlemut is bringing them two together. So, and that leads hopefully to shlemut and hopefully to simcha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings together all the opposites in the world, and that, as we saw also in the Alei Shor, Shamayim Va'aretz, Ish V'Isha, putting together those opposites leads to tremendous simcha and leads to shalom and shlemos. I thought about, again, I just before, I mentioned a remark in passing that, you don't make peace between friends, right? You make peace between enemies. And so I actually had an example. I don't know if I have the paper right here. But anyhow, you all know about the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? Hatfields and the McCoys, there was two very, very infamous families in Virginia and Kentucky, I think, and they lived on two opposite sides of the streams. And one day, I don't remember which one went to which, somebody stole an animal from the other one's side. And then what happened, they came back and they attacked them. And then there was a lot of violence. And then there were murders. And there were more murders. And there were more. It started like in the 1840s, I believe. And this went on and on and on. This ended up getting to the United States Supreme Court, Hatfields and the McCoys. It became such a... It was horrible how much murder, how much bloodshed. And they all lived on two different sides of the same stream. And they could have been best friends. So finally, in the 1980s, they made some kind of peace treaty and they all signed it. And then there was a flare-up of violence again in 2003. And finally, I think in 2007, they finally made shalom. So I thought about it, you know, this is, you know, the extremes of milchama and machloket that people get into is just beyond belief. And if you can finally, after 150, 175 years, you can bring together the opposites and make shalom, it's an unbelievable thing. We hope somehow in Eretz Yisrael that it doesn't seem like we have much of a partner to deal with there. But that's always what we are thinking about. And in Yiddishkeit, this is such an important idea. And we started off with in the Parsha how it's such an important idea. And it's just a very, very difficult one to achieve. Very difficult. But let's take a look a little bit at some of the Mekorot in Chazal for the importance of Shalom. If you'll take a look at page 5, number 7. Okay, we talk about it all the time. I'm sure sometimes we're aware and sometimes we're unaware. So number 7 says, Gadol HaShalom, great is peace, Shekol HaBrachot VaTovot Menechama HaShakadosh Baruch Hu Yivin Al Yisrael Chotmim B'Shalom. All of brachas and things that we say conclude with shalom. The Kriyat Shema. In Shema we say Pore Ufrosaleno in different versions, Sukat Shlomecha, right? Right? We say that davening, every Kaddish and every Shmones, Ose Shalom. Birkat Kohanim. It ends always Yosem Lecha Shalom. We're all aware of this, but it's nice to see them all together here, right? It's interesting. And if you go to number 8, Zevach HaShlamim, right? The Korban Shlamim makes Shalom between Shamayim and Aris, because the Kohanim get part, we get the Balim get part, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu gets part. Shalom is all over the place. It ends every Shmon Esrei, Ham Varech Adam Yisrael B'Shalom. You imagine, every Kaddish, Osef Shalom B'Mramav. You think about it, benching, there's almost not a tefillah that we don't mention it. And we're referring both to the concept of Shalom, the concept of Shleimut, and the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Yeah. And then in number 9 is from this week's parsha, which we already did. And in number 10 he mentions, Af Birkat Kohanim, Achar Kol HaBrachot Siyem B'Shalom, it ends with Shalom, Lomar, She'ein HaBrachot Mo'ilot Klum, Elim Kein Shalom Imahem. Brachot don't do anything unless there's Shalom with them. She'ein Chotein, number 11, Kol HaTfila Ela Shalom. Chotam. V'ein Chotam Birkat Kohanim Ela Shalom. All right, so everything is filled with shalom. The davening, if you went through a siddur and you took a highlighter, if you're good, and you went through a machzor, and you went through the benching, and you went through everything we say, it would be, I don't want to venture a guess how many hundreds of times you would find the word shalom. So obviously there's something in a lot. Sometimes we have to develop habits. A habit, if we hear the word shalom so many times, perhaps it will have a little impact on us. But more important, sometimes we say things, and I say things, and I don't think deeply about what I'm saying. I don't know if I thought all these things end. The last word is very important. The last word is Hamarach Namashel Bashalom, Oseh Shalom is at the ending of Kaddish, but Yaseim Lecha Shalom. The last word in all these situations is Shalom. And my Zaidi Alav Shalom, who passed away a year ago, every speech he would give, he would talk about Shalom. And Shas ends also with the discussion of Heshiv Levav Eliyahu Navi coming and bringing Shalom between the generations. Also, so if you look at the end of Shas, I could have brought that here also, you'll see even Shas ends also discussion of the Mitzvah Shalom. I have a very, very special treat here. It's not mine, it's the Maharal's treat. It's the Maharal often will look at words and letters and find really interesting meaning in it. So if you take a look at page 6, number 12. Okay, he just analyzes the letters of the word shalom. They're a little mechudash, a very nice idea. L'kach nir'eh, yishem shalom, moreh al ma'alat ha-shalom. The name shalom teaches about the greatness of shalom. Ki b'shem shalom ha-shin batchila. Starts with a shin. V'ha-shin yesh la shlosha rashim. And a shin has three heads. Okay, Shlosha Rashim. Echad b'kitzei zeh. So you have one head on this side. Echad b'kitzei zeh, and another head on the other side. Right? You all look at any shin on the page here, you can see it. V'hashlishi, and the middle one is Mechaber ben shnehem. So there's a middle head of the shin. So you can draw a shin, you can look at the shin on the page here. Right? V'hu etzem hashalom. The shin is the essence of peace. You need the middle one that is connecting a machriya between the parts. Asher ha'echad hu l'kitzei ha'echad. There's one head of the shin on one extreme, on the right. V'asheni hu l'kitzei ha'sheni. And you have the other head of the shin on the other side. V'tzarich machriya bein shneihem. And you need something to bring them together. And because it is the Rashim, what does Rashim here mean? Rashim here is referring to the leaders. Because the leaders, on page 6, number 12, the leadership of the people, it's even more necessary for them to achieve Shalom. Because they set the example for everybody else. So the leaders of the people need shalom more than anything else. That's why you have three heads of the shin. because they're the leaders. Heim shetzuchim ha-shalom yotzer. They need shalom even more. So look how much he's putting into this one letter, right? He achar shu min ha'am, probably should be, achar shu min ha'am hu tachar ha-rashim. It's someone who's a member of the people, he's under the heads, the leadership. V'hum u'shlam aleihem, and he is completed through them, or he has to listen to them. V'heim moshlim aleihem, and they rule over them. The leadership rules over them. V'heim ma'amidin ha-shalom bein ha'am. The leadership, the nesi'im, whatever the leaders, the rabbis, whoever the leaders of the people are, they bring peace about amongst the people. Aval harashim ein lahem davar ze. If they're missing this, v'yesh chaluk bein harashim, but if the leadership is disagreeing, then the people are also disagreeing. You have to have the middle one combining, and you have to have the Rashim. I know a neighborhood somewhere in this country, it's not in New York, it's not where I came in Boston, but it's a neighborhood where two of the top leaders in the community, I won't even mention anything more than that, had a fight like 35 years ago, and they're not talking to each other for 35 years. It's a very sad situation, and the whole community knows that. It's not a good situation. So, and probably each one is justified, but it's I don't know the details, and I don't care to ask, and I won't ask. I'm just saying, when the Rashim fight, it creates very big problems for the people, and it's a very difficult situation where we, as Moshe Rabbeinu pointed out, we can be very contentious people. And today we're in a particularly litigious society, in fact, and that makes life challenging. But when the Rashim can help achieve peace, then we're in much better shape. We haven't finished with the Mashal. So now you have three heads of the Shin, one on the right, one on the left, one in the middle. The middle brings the two together, but they're Rashim, they're the heads, and it's most important that the heads bring together. Now, v'tir'ek, yarosh ha'emtza'i no telitzat small. You'll notice, if you look carefully at a shin, you can see any of the shins on the page, that the top of the middle shin, the middle head of the shin turns not to the right, but it turns to the left. So every detail, you know, Rabbi Akiva was darish, the tagin, and every letter, every line in Torah is something powerful. So the line on top of the middle head turns not to the right but to the left. Why? I love this piece. He says, "He oseh shalom," because you're making peace. Yeh yoteno telitzad hasmol. Doesn't mean you're left politically or anything like that, or religiously, right? That's not what he means. Okay, but the one who is making peace has to turn to the left. Why? He asher hu al hayamin hu yoter chashuv. The guy on the right, he gets to sit at mizrach. He's the more important one. He's higher in rank. He's wealthier, whatever it is, whatever a person thinks is important. The guy, the shin, it's the first one after all, right? You're going from right to left, so the one on the right is more ahead of the shin. Right? Obviously, we understand all this is a mashal, we're talking about people here, right? Okay. V'imihiyah note acharav, and if the middle head would go towards the right, to the guy who is the more chash of a person, yeze od machloket yoter. It's not going to go in the right, the correct direction. It's going to go in the wrong direction. It's going to be more machloket. Ki ha-gadol omer, hinei ha-katon hazeh chalak alai, yizeh gorim ha-machloket. Because the more important guy will say, it's his fault. Because the guy who's more important, well, whatever it is, who creates a sense of importance, is going to be less likely to be flexible. L'kach hiyeh no tel tzad small. Therefore, it's the middle head is turning to the left. Made alav zechut, and to teach zechut, kan shalom gamor. And this way, you will have complete peace. So, the middle head of the shin, which is the one that brings together the right and the left, whether it's right or left, whatever, now you want to say right, left, political, whatever, it brings together two people, or two entities, or two countries, or who are fighting, it has to go, starts with the one who it's easier to convince, easier to persuade, the one who is less, who is more modest, who feels less of a sense of self-importance, right? In Chassidus, there's a concept. It's not only in Chassidus, but in Chassidus they call it bitul ayeshut, to vatel oneself a little bit. In Nevardik, in particular, in the Muslim movement, they also bitul ayeshut, that a person has to vatel themselves. It's basically not putting the ego first. It's a very difficult thing, especially for men. It's very difficult not to put the ego first. And to so the guy in, on the left is has less of an ego, or the person on the left of the shin. So he's more flexible. He doesn't think as much of himself. So the guy in the middle, who's trying to bring together, turns to the guy on the left, and he tries to starts with the shalom there, and then he moves to the guy on the right. And I, we'll talk about Aaron HaKohen in just a second, which may be coming, occurring to each of you. Just to, we won't go through the whole word shalom, a little bit more. After the shin, you have a lamed. Why? Because the lamed is one of the letters that points up. Right? It's going up above the row even. Ki shalom yeshlo ma'ala el yonah ad she'oleh shalom lamala lamala. Because shalom goes up and up. And there's nothing greater, because this is the purpose of everything, right? V'kasher Yisrael shalom b'neim, when there's peace between Jews, hein dveki b'mishu oseh hashalom or Hashem yitbarach. Then we, this is when we saw this in the Mesilat Yisharim. Then you're connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam, hashalom shebeneim ole male male v'davar zagorim hashalom. So the lamed represents the shalom going all the way up. Okay. Yeah, and then he talks about the mem sofit, the mem stuma, it's protection. The final mem, he talks about, right? At the end, the vav can be there or cannot be there, so you don't have to darshan the vav. The vav is optional, right? You can write, because shalom, shin, lamed, mem, would be shlemut, and shalom is the same word as we spoke about before, and the concepts are connected. So the mem at the end, the mem sofit, which is stuma, which is closed on all sides, this provides tremendous protection for everybody. It's like they're fenced in, they're protected. They have like a force. If we have shalom, there's like a force field around us, and we're protected. That's the way the Maharal ends. So this mashal, what you find within the shin of shalom, is of course the very, very well-known medrash about Aharon HaKohen, which is actually found in Avot Rabbi Natan on page 7. You see the arrow on the left side. Okay, yeah, there's more about this Aharon HaKohen. This I'm sure many people have heard, but it's worth repeating because it fits in with the Maharal's whole description of the shin with the two sides in it. You have two people that are fighting with each other. You can think about the whatever the Hatfields and the McCoys or any other fight that you want to think about. We don't have to search too far. Every day in the newspaper, every day in the news, every day everywhere. This is part. Okay. Halach Aharon v'yashav lo eitzel echad mehem. Aharon went and he sat next to one of them. V'amar lo, and he said to him, Bini, my son. He uses a term of endearment. Re'ei chavercha ma'u omer. See what your friend, uses the word friend, says. Mitarefet libo v'korei begadav. He's so upset. His heart is aching him, and he's tearing his heart, and he's ripping his garments. Omer, he's saying, oily. Woe is to me. How can I lift up my eyes and see my friends? I'm embarrassed that we're fighting. I really feel bad about what I did to the other guy. Okay, that's Aaron sat next to this guy and he listens to this guy. He sits next to the guy and he listens to him, he makes him feel better, and he gets rid of all jealousy from his heart. And he goes to the next guy and he says, Bini, my son, see the other guy, what is he saying? His heart is taking him and he's ripping his garments oily, and he says, he's saying, how can I see my friend? I'm embarrassed. I'm responsible. And on the other guy also, he gets rid of all jealousy, ego, whatever it is. And if Keshuzeh Bazen, then when the Aaron has prepared each of the guys, and each of the parties that are fighting feels that the other guy really wants to make up. And then, Keshuzeh Keshuzeh Bazen, when the two of them meet up once, Gifafu and Ashu Zelazeh, they embrace and they kiss each other. The Kach Ne'amar, therefore, when Aaron died, it says, Vayivku et Aaron Shloshim Yom Kol Beit Yisrael, that the entire Klal Yisrael, cried over Aaron HaKohen. It's very, very easy to have machloket. We have, there's and maybe we'll talk another shiur about this, but there are certain kinds of machloket that are good. It's good to have machloket in Torah and to argue it out, but even there, as we'll see, in the end, they have to come away as friends. It's only an intellectual, philosophical, halachic argument. That's a good kind of argument. It's good to argue that. but it's, you're arguing about the points. You're not arguing about the person. It's not the people aren't fighting. You're arguing about something specific. But one of the most famous pieces in the entire Talmud is the next thing about, you know, Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and that kind of answers what I was just talking about. In the fighting in Torah, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that they, at the end, a father and a son, a Rebbe and a Talmud, they fight over a Torah, they leave there, they love each other, though. There's not a fight about people, it's a fight about an idea. So you would think Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, they disagreed on unbelievable numbers, so many situations that maybe they wouldn't be talking to each other, right? You say this, and we say no. Afal pi, this is a very beautiful piece from the Gemara in Yevamos. Continuing in here, Afal pi shenechlechu Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, even though Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagreed in many things, elu osrim ve'elu maturim, they prohibited and they permitted, lom nimne'u Beit Shammai lisanoshim v'Beit Hillel, the house of Shammai did not stop marrying women from the house of Hillel. V'lo Beit Hillel mi Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel didn't stop marrying people from Beit Shammai's family. L'metcha, to teach you, shechiba v'rayut no'agim zebazeh, that friendship, love and friendship, they had warm feelings towards one another. L'kayim ashen emar v'ayemet. Notice we're ending up with Ha'emet. Last year, we spoke about last year, truth. Yes, they wanted to achieve the truth in Torah. V'ha-shalom. But peace, which is the higher madrega, Ehavu, they loved. They loved truth, yes, and they loved peace. The last word is, right, we also, which we end off in so much in the davening, is with peace. So Aaron HaKohen is the prime example of Shalom, which is why we have Fros Aleinu Sukkah Shalomecha, and Sukkah is a holiday, and Chassidus Soz talks a lot about of Aaron HaKohen, and because there's a Sukkah Shalom, of Fros Aleinu Sukkah Shalomecha, we say every week. I was thinking also, we started off last week with Yerushalayim. There was a machloket. What do you call it? There could have been a machloket. That in last week's parsha, Shame, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, who was Shame, according to Chazal, Rashi brings down, called Yerushalayim Shalem. In this week's parasha, Avram calls Yerushalayim Yireh. Kodesh Baruch Hu combines the two. You get Yireh Shalem, which is Yerushalayim, because he didn't want to take away from the name that Malki Tzedek Shame gave it, or from the name that Avram gave it. He didn't want to create any machloket. He was careful as much as possible to include both and create Yerushalayim. And each one contributed. It's not just Stam. Yireh talks about, like, not only to see, but Yirat Shamayim. And Shalem is the concept of Shalom and Shleimut, the ear of Shalom that we spoke about so much last time. It's bringing together the opposites, which is Shalom, which leads to Shleimut, complete and wholeness, which leads to Simcha and Oneg, which is the ultimate purpose for each one of us in our lives, as the Mishnah Yisharim points out, Litaneg al Ziv HaShechina. And who is Litaneg? Who is Mitaneg al Ziv HaShechina? The Adam HaShalem. That's a repeated term all the time and in Mishnah Yisharim. The Adam HaShalem is Mitaneg al Ziv HaShechina. Shalom, putting together the parts, leads to completion, which leads to joy, Oneg, which is one of the joy, spiritual joy, coming close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's any questions, comments, suggestions?